Every night in my dreams, I bonus, I bonus.
All right.
Okay.
Gank.
Hey, honey, I'm home. It's time for your pegging.
Has anything ever been so funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
It's a bonus episode. This is an acquired taste podcast. I apologize for what you just heard. I am Bethany. I'm here with Sam.
Hello.
And Kathleen.
Hi.
And you're welcome for what you just heard.
And last episode, we talked about some fun obituaries, question mark?
There's a phrase I never thought I'd hear.
So we said that we were going to go back and we were going to write our own.
Yeah.
Fun obituaries.
And we're delivering.
Yeah.
I actually got kind of sad writing mine.
Did you?
Really? Yeah. I was smiling. Oh, boy.
I wrote... Well, it depends on, like, how did you... Did you write it as though it happened tomorrow? Or did you write it as though it happened when you're 90?
I wrote it as it happened many years from now.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, if I'm pre-deceased by certain people. And then yeah. It just got really sad.
Oh, you can't think too much about it.
Oh, I think I wrote mine like it's now.
I wrote mine like it's in the future.
Okay.
That's okay. There's no wrong answer when you're writing your own obituary.
No, this is, I think, almost exactly what I want. It started as a joke, and now it's a very real thing.
Somebody can make a lot of money with a fun booklet of what's the word I'm looking for?
Mad Libs.
Mad Lib obituaries.
Yeah.
Where it's like insert verb, insert child's name, insert school you went to, insert profession.
It should be a coffee table book if it's not.
Some of the best
coffee
obituaries.
Table obituaries.
Yeah. Gentle listener, don't think too hard.
No.
Is what I say to this. It's because the ones we read were uplifting and funny and like, you know, don't think too hard.
Yeah. And it spoke to the person's life.
Yes.
Rather than their passing.
Yeah. Right? By the way, we just had like an hour and a half long editorial meeting, which was amazing. But Sam over here drank like concentrated cold brew. And by the end of the meeting, Sam was like, I have another idea. I have an idea. And we're going to do this. And we're going to drive. We're going to drive real far. And we're going to deliver things. And we're going to
fly. I should buy a boat.
We'll fly a boat.
For the record, at least most of the ideas were pretty good.
They were great.
They were just coming at it rapid fire.
I
wasn't waiting for a response. I just went on to the next one. And then you'd say a sentence. There was one point, Bethany, you said a complete sentence. You looked at me while saying it. And I paused for a second. I was like, wait, what? Like, I didn't hear the words because there are bumblebees in my brain.
Is that how straight edge kids get high? By drinking concentrate cold brew?
I think so.
Wait, if you're straight edge, can you even touch caffeine? Can you have it?
I think it's drugs, sex, and alcohol is straight edge.
You can't have any sex if you're straight edge?
I didn't in high school. I was straight edge.
Really?
No, sex and straight edge don't mesh.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. No mm-hmm. sex. I didn't drink. I didn't. Mm. Drug. I didn't eat drugs.
You didn't consume the drug snacks.
Have you guys seen that GIF on Twitter where it's like a Bart Simpson guy in a Bart Simpson outfit, like at a car dealership, and he has a sign, and on one side it says "Eat pizza," and on the other side it says "Not drugs," and he's flipping it back and forth. It's my favorite.
No, but that was Bethany.
Don't eat drugs.
But
eat
I
pizza.
Just came up with my Halloween costume.
Bart Simpson flipping a board.
Uh-huh.
All right. So who would like to kick off Dearly Beloved? Wait, no, that's a wedding. I'm sorry. Who wants to kick off the obituary readings?
I will. I'll go.
All right, Kathleen. Kathleen, read to us of your own passing.
Okay. Oh, wait, there's my page.
Handwritten on my oven.
Handwritten. I just did this right now. Okay.
Kitchen Studio NYC, place of publication.
Kathleen has finally taken her dream vacation to the land of eternal napping, where she is likely watching Nora Ephron and Nancy Meyers films on permanent rotation with a bottle of champagne, of brut champagne that never empties.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen was known by friends and family for her unique ability to throw dinner parties, but not serve the main course until 11 p.m. Oh. She was charming, but people were hungry when they visited.
That was in the office.
It was like a Michael Scott
party. That was in the office.
She spent many years dedicated to the craft of procrastination and was often heard saying, "Let's get rosé before we do it." There is so much more that could be said about this artistic, sarcastic, pizza-loving bookworm, but really more so than anything else, she loved her husband Neil with every ounce of her soul.
Aww.
And that was all that really mattered to her.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. And her cat, too.
Oh. Yay. That's so nice.
Sweet. Mm. That part about Neil's also the end of my obituary.
And mine. Stole her husband from Kathleen.
Crazy.
Oh, guys, we're all going to die.
Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Yeah. Stop thinking about
it. Not the point of today's exercise.
No. Would you ever like to know the day of your death?
There is a website.
No.
That you can plug in, like, how you live your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me find it really quickly.
Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. I haven't even opened. I took the 23andMe test, the genetic part. I've had it for over a week, and I haven't clicked on it yet.
Oh, I'll read it for you.
No, you will not.
It tells you when
know.
You're going to die?
It just tells you things you are likely, like, predisposed to getting, or things that are in your family. Maybe that's never been active, but, like, the gene's been passed on. So maybe you're the person you never know, you know?
That's fair.
It's a lot.
Fateful day.eu.
Nope.
Fatefulday.eu.
And I think I'm dying in like 2060 something.
Wow. Okay.
So I just read this book by, hang on, I just had it up and then I typed in fatefulday.eu.
Oh,
so,
oh that's sorry.
Day.
Oh,
fateful
day.
I just read this book called The Immortalists by Chloe Benjamin.
How was it?
And it was an excellent read. And it's about these children, and I'm not giving anything away, but they go to a fortune teller. Mm. And they all get the dates of their death.
Sounds horrible.
And the sort of underlying theme is if you know the day of your death, even if it's not real, do you live your life destined to die on that day anyway because somebody has already put it in your head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's why some doctors won't say how long you have left to live, like if you have an illness.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of self-fulfilling prophecy in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. There are people who, you know, and we met one of them who know that they do have a timer, but not a day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
They're dealing with a condition and then they live a really fulfilling life where they're around. But that's different.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I really don't want to know the day I'm going to die.
Sam, do you suffer from any kind of chronic disease?
Not that I know of.
No, continue. Mm-hmm. I'm filling yours out for you. Mm-hmm. You are vegetarian.
Pescatarian.
That's fine.
Is that an option?
How do you spend your working time? You work physically.
Grumbling. Rubbing my temples.
Okay. Do you want me to go? I'll go.
Yeah.
I wrote my obituary.
Let's hear it, Bethany.
Okay. Bethany Penelope Watson died spectacularly this week after the emu she was joyriding decided it had had enough and threw itself into a heavily wooded ravine.
Wow.
Although neither Bethany's nor the emu's body have been recovered, both are presumed dead or disappeared. It is very possible they've completely disappeared and have begun an exciting new life in Paris or Barcelona.
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 You speak Catalan.
Don't you try and throw that away.
I hope that emu likes tapas.
Everyone loves tapas. They're huge right now. Bethany was born in Wisconsin in the middle of December, and this wintry start set the tone for the rest of her life. Those who knew Bethany would say she, quote, truly came alive in winter. Her husband of 6 months, Ira Glass, was once heard described. Don't push that.
Isn't he married?
No, divorced recently. It was big in Page Six.
I'm just happy you started dating again.
Was once heard describing her as positively sparkling with glorious light in the winter months. However, in her later years, Bethany was known to recede into her underground wine coves in the summer months, hibernating until it was announced that Starbucks pumpkin spice latte was back out and Bethany knew it was safe to reemerge.
Woot woot.
Bethany loved books, libraries, museums, animals, the color black, skulls, true crime, and making out. She rose to international fame as the breakout star of the film National Treasure 3. Oh no, they took it again. Where she played Gwendolyn St. Clair, a spy who re-steals the Declaration of Independence and makes Nicolas Cage fall in love with her. Her husband of 6 months, Nicolas Cage, has not shown his face since the two divorced in 2021, telling friends that, quote, she was the best there ever was or ever will be, and what's the point of anything now?
He's never taken another lover.
Never.
Wait, why are you always ever married for 6 months?
It just never goes well.
Mm.
Bethany is survived by her husband of 6 months, Jeff Goldblum. Her menagerie of miniature horses, her cats Loki and Minerva, they live for a real long time.
Of course they do.
And her entire family, who were overheard remarking that someone else will finally get a word in edgewise this Christmas. And it's not like Bethany ever brought food to share her anyway, because Lord, that woman couldn't cook, am I right? There will not be a funeral, as Bethany hated attention. Lulz, just kidding. Her funeral will be internationally live streamed at AMC movie theaters around the world this Friday. As promised, Bethany's death has touched off an internet mystery of where she hid the first clue. To what? No one knows. It's a mystery, just as Bethany would have wanted. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to your local animal shelter or literally anywhere except Bethany's shady cousin Rick, who cannot be trusted with money at all, but will definitely ask you for it.
Wait, who's this Rick?
Shady cousin.
Bravo!
Oh,
bravo!
What a piece.
Oh, I want to read the novel of Bethany's what obituary. Ooh, that's a great book idea. Start it with the obituary of the person and then tell their story.
That is a great... Kathleen just patented that.
I just trademark.
Made us rich or somebody else rich.
Or with yourself the rich.
Hi, I'm Meghan Markle. You may have wondered how I got here.
I wonder how many actual books have started that way. And this is the story of how I died.
Or quick, Disney movies.
Somebody hire a ghostwriter.
Because heaven forbid we write our own book.
Okay. It's how Bethany would have wanted it. Just kidding. She wrote all of these novels.
Lols.
They're hidden under her floor.
It only took 6 months.
Sam, you have just died. What does the newspaper say
about
you? Mine's
going to be woefully disappointing after all the effort and time you put into that.
I hope that's not part of the obituary.
You ready? That's it. Sam, she was woefully disappointing. And then it has a icon emoji. Okay. Here we go. Samantha would like to apologize for the taco, puppy, and Michael Scott-shaped bits of confetti that have absolutely covered the streets of downtown Manhattan. Her head has finally exploded. Whether it was from too much joy or too much self-induced stress pressure or too much joy that she pressured herself into stress due to lack of appropriately comprehending the emotion, we will never know. However, she is now in a better place with her late dog, Teddy, and hopefully a much more appropriate understanding of volume control. She never stopped chasing her tail.
Oh, I'm getting the vibe that you're stressed.
Me?
Sam? Sam, on a scale of 1 to...
47!
What would you say your number one stressor is if we were to bleep it out?
My number one stressor.
Say the top three things that are stressing you out right now, mm-hmm. and we can bleep out all mm-hmm. of them.
Okay. Oh, this should be fun.
Yeah.
Or tragic.
Let's do it.
Number one thing that's stressing me out. No, I'm sorry. I really got to get rid of this part because it's extremely personal and affects more than just me. So here's this awesome elevator music instead.
Two.
Nope. This one is not much better, and for similar reasons, continue with the music. All one big ball of emotion.
Mm-hmm. Number three, what's stressing you out?
What the hell am I... Yep, you guessed it. Sam once again said something that was too sensitive to be shared in mass quantities. So, yeah, don't worry. This is it, though. Don't worry.
Yeah. We should plan a trip to Hawaii.
We should go on a trip. Oh, yeah. Money. You want to put
that
in one of them?
There's way money.
How's that? That's honorable mentions in at least two of those.
I get into work every morning. I just open Airbnb and I type in the most exotic destination ever. And that's how I spend the first 10 minutes of my day.
Okay, Kathleen, what are the top three things stressing you out right now?
Oh, my goodness.
We can bleep them out if we need to.
No, it's okay. My inability to fit into pants. I own a bunch.
Is it like three separate pairs of pants? So each, that's three reasons right there.
I own a bunch, but none of them are shaped like a wine bottle. So unfortunately, my body is not getting into them right now.
Okay, number two.
I just keep not winning the lottery.
Yeah, that's fair.
Keep buying lotto tickets and it never happens.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's fair.
I have a lot of saves on Trulia that are going to need mortgage payments.
Oh my God. Your humor, I can't tell if it's making me feel better about being stressed or worse because I couldn't even come up with funny answers. I'm like, you asked, you got it.
Everyone's the worst.
Here we go.
Three, Kathleen.
Number three. Oh my goodness. I don't know. I think I'm stressed for my mother right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's taking care of my dad. Mm-hmm. And I wish that there was more I could do. But, at some point you can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm stressed about right now. Mm-hmm. What about you, Bethany?
What am I stressed about right now? I'm stressed.
Top three. Don't edit them because we can if we want to.
Okay. I'm stressed because I have income coming in, mm-hmm. but not enough to cover rent every month. So I'm living... a bit from my savings account, which mm-hmm. is fine because mm-hmm. I prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
Totally
that's
fine.
Why it's a savings account.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I still don't, I don't like living from a savings account,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am working on a project that I don't know if it will take off or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of work put into a gamble, mm-hmm. but that's the entire entertainment industry. So that I have to true. Learn to deal with that.
Yeah.
And the third thing,
unless
you're Tori Spelling and there is like literally a safety net.
Yes.
what's the third thing stressing me out right now? Anxiety.
Yeah.
Severe anxiety.
Yeah. Just like not knowing when it's going to exactly pop up its head or yeah. the awareness. Okay.
Yeah. Like I've been having panic attacks lately again and mm-hmm. like, I have a hard time leaving my house
mm-hmm.
and it's a thing that I have to actively, like with my therapist, bless her heart, like we actively are working to make sure I don't become a shut-in.
Okay.
Like as much as I joke about it, it's like, did you leave your house today, Bethany? Oh, you did. Good. How many times did you check the perimeter of your apartment with your mild case of beginning OCD to mm-hmm. make sure all the lights were off and mm-hmm. all the windows were shut? Like it's a thing, mm-hmm. but, so that's a little stressful, but I'm yeah. handling it.
I'm on the bright side or slash the flip side of that. If there's one apartment to be a shut-in in, it's this apartment.
That's part Isn't of the problem delightful? Is I've like, I love interior decoration. Mm-hmm. And so I make it my paradise. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't want to leave your paradise.
No, I know.
No, so. But being further away from it makes you appreciate it.
Yes.
All the more.
That's true.
I'm going to start like, we need to have more editorial dates now just because it's a force of getting Bethany yeah. out of the apartment.
It gets me out of my house.
Not in a mean way. It's just fun.
No, it's good. We got to get me out.
Yeah.
We got to get me out. Get me out.
This, you know what's funny is this topic was obituaries, but somehow it got more dark.
I know, it got real dark.
Without our life stresses.
I think that's my fault.
No, that's, I mean.
Because I absolutely asked you what was stressing you no. out.
Because you verbatim. By the way, I'm cutting out all three of mine. I'm cutting out any of yours, Kathleen?
Yeah. No, you didn't need to cut any of mine.
None
out.
Of those?
No, you can keep mine.
I'm keeping mm-hmm. yours?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mine are going. Wow.
You know, okay. I think it's a good exercise for everybody who's sort of having a tough time to write down the top three things that are stressing you.
Yeah. Yes, it's good to acknowledge them. And I actually, this is good. I'll take a photo and post it on at A Quiet Taste Podcast on Instagram. I purchased a book that I still don't have the guts to use. It's a book that has tabs about worry. So you open it up and it's like, what are you worried about today? And you know, you write down what you're worried about. And then it has a tab you could rip on the side. And it says, is there something I can do about it? And if the answer is yes, you write it down. And if you've done that thing about it, you rip off the tab so you don't have to look at that page again.
That's so great.
Yeah. And if you haven't done it yet, you leave the tab so that you can just thumb open to that page. You know,
and it helps you like get a sense of control over it.
That's what it's supposed to do. Literally zero ink is in that book right now because it's stressful even trying to approach.
But that's okay.
But that's
a really good idea.
Whoever wrote that book, I wish they went with some more muted colors.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's a little loud.
It's a loud book with foil decorations.
Oh, foil. That's rough.
Someone should know their audience. Ooh. People who are grabbing this book have mild anxieties about things.
That's a lot of color.
Don't you come know, at me like that.
When you acknowledge what is stressing you out, I think it gives you the power
mm-hmm.
because you look at it and you go, oh, that's so silly.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I can do A, B, and C to correct that. Just yesterday, my friend Pam sent this email to our girl group. The subject line was de-stressing. And it's from the website greatest.com. Mm-hmm. And I'll just go over this very quickly with you guys. It says cheat on your pizza. These are ways to de-stress. Cheat on your pizza. Try the cauliflower pizza instead because you're still getting your indulgent item. You know, and that could be applicable to anything, you know, frozen yogurt or cereal or whatever. Combine coffees. If you're feeling a little overbooked and you have a coffee with an old colleague and you also have a coffee with a college friend, just combine them two. Metaphorically, you're killing two birds with one stone and you make an intro and people make friends that way, right?
Oh, that would stress me out.
Yeah.
That would undo its purpose for me personally.
Really?
One I do like.
Because then all of a sudden you're the one who did it. You're responsible for both of them to be entertained or to connect.
That's fair.
I don't want that.
But if you think it would work, that would be a good option. I also like people who are like, let's go on walking meetings because I have to get my steps in and we have to have a meeting.
Yeah. Oh,
let's walk.
That's great.
Which I think is a good idea.
Clear out your apps because you really don't need that funny meme app from 2014 that you paid $3 for. This is one thing that I have a tough time doing. Carry less stuff.
Impossible.
I carry like 7,000 bags with me into work every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there are people who fill up the container they have. Like I used to be one of those. I still am. But I used to have a big purse, like the tote purse, and it would be packed. And then I downgraded before I entered the professional world of laptops. Yeah. And I would never need more than I could fill up in that small bag.
Hmm.
So maybe get a smaller space and see if you're like filling up the space or not.
Yeah, that's fair.
But where am I going to put my giant makeup bag in case I need to do a quick makeover on the fly?
I know.
The next one is leave space around your to-dos, which really means that if you do you really need to go to every single meeting on your calendar or call into every single thing? Like, you probably don't.
No, and I've also become a really big fan of looking at a week and saying like, I have two meetings this week that are outside of work. I'm going to make someone wait a couple weeks, and that's not the end of the world.
And that's fine.
And that's totally fine.
You know, at work, I've been doing this thing where I eliminated all the extra stuff that I thought made me look really good. And I'm only like, you know, sending extra emails about this or adding extra graphics to this or posting about this. And now I'm only doing the things that are absolutely essential to my job performance, like what they're going to grade me on at the end of the year. And my work reviews have never been better.
Really?
Yeah, because it probably leaves more room for you to expand and be better at the things that they're literally just looking at.
Yeah. I cut out all the fluff.
Yeah.
I used to send emails to keep everybody in the loop and all that other BS and things that are trending on social. Don't do that anymore. It's fluff and I'm not graded on it at the end of the year.
I love that.
Bye.
You know what I started doing to acknowledge stress that helps in the studio?
Huh.
When, I mean, I have the luxury of being alone in my space. I know a lot of people don't have that in their work environment, but if you do, or if you could find another version of this, if something happens that I'm really frustrated about, instead of having that moment where I'm silent to myself, moving on, just do it, I sing something to myself that's the message. So I'll start saying, oh, I have to blank blank blank, which I should have known 3 days ago. F*** this shit. That is so irresponsible. Like, saying the words that are negative but to a song helps me get out what I need and then laugh about it after.
I really like that.
If God help me if anyone walks into my studio, because I do it at least 4 times a day.
Wait, here's another $1 million idea. Somebody writes a modern day opera where the word f***ing are in it.
Mm-hmm. I'd watch. 10 out of 10 would watch.
I would audition.
I would buy 10 tickets to that and go see it every night of the week.
Yep.
And the last thing on this list from thegreatest.com, always ask yourself, is this adding to or subtracting from my life?
I love it.
Did that this morning.
Really?
So a couple days ago, I posted one of the pictures from this photo shoot that I did for Ariel, and people get real sassy.
It was a beautiful photo.
People are 99.9% of people are really nice, but every once in a while you come across the comment where someone's like, you quit your job for this, or like that kind of thing.
Aren't you a charmer?
Yeah. And so normally I'm like, okay, well, I have to like push through it or whatever. And today I just like saw the first one and I'm like, and this is no longer serving me. And I just closed it and I moved on with my life.
Good for
because
you.
Because social media is not a requirement.
It's not. You are very right. That to us and we've had an episode on this. It's something that we have been raised into and then solidify in our minds every single day. It's a hard habit to break mentally.
Yep. You don't need it.
Scrolling through my Instagram 15 minutes before I even get out of bed, it doesn't help my life.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't
serve late
you.
For work.
It does. And your emails.
Makes me late for work.
What if someone said your email is just a list of people who need something from you?
Like,
don't check your email that early in the morning.
Don't
do it.
Except every interview you hear with an entrepreneur billionaire, it's like, I'm successful because every morning between the hours of 4 and 6, I answer only email.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I don't have 3 hours in the morning to just answer emails.
No.
Well, I do, but I don't want to.
But I choose not to because they're better served elsewhere.
Yeah.
So should we end this on a higher, happier note?
Yes.
What's one thing in life right now that you feel like you're either really proud of or that is going well, either for yourself or for the world, or just something happy to end on? Anyone?
I have one.
What is it?
But it's going to sound really weird. I know I'm in a safe space, but I'm only prefacing it because in general, and I know you'd acknowledge this, this is a weird thing to say.
I like that you think you're in a safe space because you are not. This is a space of infinite ridicule.
I was
Whoopi Goldberg. You in danger, girl.
You in danger, girl.
Are you running for the president of the Office fan club again?
Listen, I'm tired of this rejection and I'm submitting again. I am in a place where, and this is not the first time you've heard this sentence from me, I haven't been doing yoga. I haven't really been taking time to physically take care of myself.
Uh-huh.
And although I don't own a scale, so I don't know number, math, whatever, I see in all of the places that allows me to see it first, I know I'm at one of the high points of not shapeliness for my, like I my breakfast was literally 3 Twix bars today.
Yeah.
Not I've just not been taking care of myself, and I see weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's uncomfortable as far as like clothes and sitting and all that fun stuff. But
I've got extra pants if you need them.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm proud of myself in
not
this
using
way.
Them right now.
You won't. I'm not in a place where I'm upset about it.
That's great.
I know what's happening and I'm acknowledging it. I think it's because I have so many other things to be upset
there's
about.
There's too many other things no falling apart.
Right
so you know what you do? Go home, take off your shirt with your boyfriend there. Make sure your roommate's not around. You grab both of your boobs and you go, do you want to touch these puppies? Do you want to touch them?
The truffle shuffle. I don't know. That. It's just not bothering me and how it used to bother me. And I can't tell if it's because I'm in a different place mentally or because, again, the glass, the cup runneth over.
Yeah.
There's no more room for this to be a problem, so I'm happy about that.
I'm proud of you. I that reminds me of my friend Christina. So on Instagram, she's the Poof, P-O-U-F,
mm-hmm.
and she does a lot of work. She works in the fashion industry, and she is also recovering from an eating disorder.
Okay,
and that's how I met her. And she has this incredible organization called The Chain. They work with women who are in the fashion and entertainment industries to work on eating disorder issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her friends wrote this about her for her, and it's on her mirror, and it's my favorite thing because it makes you face what you think is the worst and you realize that it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says, stop worrying about whether you're fat. You're not fat, or rather you're sometimes a little bit fat, but who gives a shit? There's nothing more boring and fruitless than a woman lamenting the fact that her stomach is round. Feed yourself. Literally, the sort of people worthy of your love will love you more for this. And to have it said, you're sometimes a little bit fat. Okay.
What's wrong with that acknowledgement?
It just acknowledges that our weights fluctuate constantly throughout our life. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a time where you're thinner than you are now. And there's going to be a time when you're fatter than you are now.
Yes.
And it's not a bad thing.
Right?
It's okay.
Sensitive validation, I don't know if there's a better phrase for it, is one of the most reassuring things because it hurts so bad when I mention something like that and you get the person who looks at you and like rolls their eyes because instead of hearing your issue, they hear their feelings yeah. reflected in your issue.
Yeah.
And that's something, it's like, you know, not to make a tasteless comparison, like my mom's super sick. I'm dealing with taking care of her right now. And the other one's like, oh yeah, well I lost my blank. So you can't be upset.
Right.
Kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like you got to hear someone's problem and acknowledge that it's a problem to them.
Just taught me something about myself.
Uh-oh. What's that? What did I do?
When Sam was going, well, I'm not taking care of myself, I'm over here waiting for the right point to go, okay, size two.
Exactly.
But I didn't.
Exactly.
I didn't.
Kathleen,
I'm
that
so
would have
you.
Been really upsetting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm so proud of you.
No, it's fine.
I
didn't
it's
say
fine.
It.
I know you didn't. And I understand that that's a very common reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get it.
You just taught me something about myself.
Mm-hmm. It's just,
I will take this conversation, I will internalize it, and it will make me a better person moving on.
That's good. I'm sorry also.
So Kathleen, what's something that's making you like happy or
oh, I have the best
good.
Thing ever. Guys.
What is it?
So I've been making my bed like almost every day. And
yeah.
I have so many pillows on it.
Yeah.
So when I get home, I have a Fire Stick now in my bedroom. I have a big TV. And I just sit on my made bed with all my pillows. And I take naps and I watch Netflix. And it's amazing.
That's how cozy.
The best.
And I have a quilted cover so I don't even have to get under the duvet. So I don't mess up the duvet. And sometimes my cat gets under the quilted cover with me.
Oh, I love beds. They're the best.
I feel cozy.
Bethany, what are you... What's not stressing you out right now?
What's not stressing me out right now is I'm really excited that I have projects I'm working on. My girlfriend is, she wrote and is directing a short film. She mm-hmm. cast me as the lead. We're filming it in November.
Oh,
we're
that's
pairing
exciting.
It. I'm psyched. It's just nice to look down the runway and see things that I want to be doing that are going to be happening.
How long is a short film?
It depends.
It's pretty short.
This one will be, this one will be like 5 or 7 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's like it's a poem she wrote that we're basically filming the poem. And, but you know, it could be like 30 minutes. It could be 10.
Interesting.
People need to open themselves up to the world of short filmmaking because if you haven't, if you just hear it and don't know anything about it, you might like kind of sweep it under the rug. But one of the scariest things I've ever seen was a short horror film with no words. It might've been 3 minutes long. Kathleen, you
Lights
watched
out,
it,
right?
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
I think they made it into a feature.
Did they?
So well, yeah.
I will not watch the feature, but if you're just curious and want to scare yourself for a short period of time, look up the short film, Lights Out.
Yeah.
It's minutes long and it will mess you up.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
You know, it would be really fun if before feature movies that they paired up with a short film that made sense for the audience.
Yeah, like, yeah, that'd be, yes.
Doesn't Pixar sometimes do that?
Yeah, Pixar does that sometimes. But imagine if every movie had a little short film before it. Yeah.
That'd be like, they used to play cartoons before movies, like Warner Brothers cartoons.
And now it's just like that Coca-Cola commercial where all the trees grow out from underneath the movie seats.
Yeah, and like an hour of previews.
And what gets me about the Coca-Cola commercial is that they're in there drinking their like really bubbly Coke from glasses, like actual glasses.
Who does that?
In the movie theater. You don't get that.
Meanwhile, they take the lids off my water bottles when I'm in like some kind of public place.
I know, it's unfair.
So good for you, Bethany.
Thank you.
For your short film that's packs just as much as anything else could.
Yeah. Bethany, are you allowed to tell us what movie you're going to be an extra in next month?
Can I tell you? I had to sign an NDA.
Really?
Stop it.
Yeah, it's just, and it literally happened by accident. I didn't ask to do this work. I just got contacted to do this work.
You didn't ask for Thug Life.
No.
Thug Life chose you.
Just found me.
Is this like the time you walked through the Ninja Turtles movie set by accident?
Basically, just more organized. But yeah, I'm like doing background work on a film. I can't. And it's like, I like wardrobe based back. Like I have to get fitted for costumes and stuff.
No way.
You get a full costume?
Yeah. I had to sign an NDA my first day.
So fun.
Are they going to dress you like a unicorn?
I hope so.
Me too.
Yeah. But well, I'm doing that like a bunch of days. It's going to be really fun.
Dreams
and I get paid.
Do come true.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun, guys. Bethany, thank you for making sure we ended on an uplifting note.
Hey, no problem.
That was good.
Yeah.
I feel cleansed and confused and happy and sad, as I do a lot of the times where we're on our way out of a podcast.
Yeah.
Everyone, definitely follow us on Instagram. Like I mentioned before, I'm going to post some pieces of that book for you to take for yourself at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
Wait, that's what I just
said. Oh my God. Sorry. Oh my Lord.
At Acquired Taste Podcast.
Somebody get me a glass of something.
Rosé, she said in her obituary.
On Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Shoot us an email.
Yeah.
Subject line, advice needed, an acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
P.O. Box, if that serves you. An Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Hey, ladies.
What?
I love you.
I love you.
Love you more.